Kingsbury, very dismissive of Bengals corner Cam Taylor Britt, who suggested that they're running a nice college offense was the line.
Somebody must have told him you don't give teams a bulletin board material, right?
Yeah, I don't know that he's listening to that.
If I were them, I'd go after him.
To help us learn more about the Bengals, Charlie Goldsmith covers the Bengals for the Cincinnati Inquirer, joins us now. Charlie, what's up, dude? How are you?
Hey, in Cam Taylor Britt's defense, the Bengals were running a nice college offense in 2020 with Burrow, and that worked out okay for him. So
that's true. Is Cam Taylor Britt the kind of guy, like, was he trying to take a shot there, or was it kind of just something that was said poorly?
Cam Taylor Britt's a very interesting character. I mean, his nickname is literally Juice. He's also an all-time culture setter from a guy in his first or second year in the league. He's in year three now, but he very quickly became one of the voices of that locker room. I don't think he was trying to take a shot. I don't think he really cares what the, you know, about how anything is perceived or anything like that. But I think there's some interesting things to discuss about schematically what the Commanders offense looks like. But I don't think he was trying to put himself in the spotlight and the headlines by trying to stir the pot.
But the question I want to ask you, like, when we saw how the Bengals came out in first week, lost against the Patriots, then they go to Kansas City, who they play well all the time, but they lost the game. Which team are the Bengals really?
Well, week one, Joe Burrow was terrible. And so the question about which team the Bengals are really is, what do you think of Joe Burrow? And Joe Burrow has a very long track record of being one of the best, one of the top five, top three quarterbacks in the league. More often than not, I'll bet on Burrow being the guy he was in week two, which wasn't even his best performance, but was much better than how Mahomes played than what Burrow was in week one. And week one, it wasn't even the risk either, which was a big topic of conversation. I could point out 5 or 10 decisions he made before the snap, decisions he made in the huddle, decisions he made to bail from plays in the pocket, like stuff Burrow does literally better than anyone, stuff that's his superpower. He was doing at a 100 level, and just 1 week later, though, he improved a million different things, and he played really, really well, more than good enough to beat the Chiefs. So I'll bet on Burrow being just fine and the Bengals being a good team.
I think that's a safe place to land. And Washington's secondary might be just the team to get hot against. What is the latest? Obviously, you know, there were questions about Burrow's health with the wrist. I don't think it's health-related, but Ja'Marr Chase has seemed unhappy. We'll leave it
well,
there.
Well, he is.
Yeah, and then T. Higgins is health-related, I believe. Get us up to speed on all three of those guys.
So Burrow, like I said, the wrist is something he still won't say is 100%. But watching every throw in training camp especially, I've seen everything I need to see to not blame the wrist for what Burrow did poorly in week one. And then week two, he played great. Ja'Marr Chase, his frustration has been palpable ever since the organization told him in the spring he was going to get a contract extension. They were ready to negotiate, and in his mind, they didn't go far enough. Both sides were at fault there for why a deal didn't get done and why this frustration has percolated into the season. Frankly, I think the best thing for both sides is a 150-yard game against the Commanders' secondary that doesn't have the corners to run with him. I think they might even try to force him the ball this week to try to just get finally some good juju going, and it'll certainly help that I expect T. Higgins to play this week. He tweaked his hamstring the second-to-last practice before the season started, and yes, there was speculation, you know, what's going on here, but yes, T. Higgins really injured his hamstring. Frankly, a guy in a contract year who hasn't gotten paid because of concerns about his hamstring history can't afford to have another hamstring injury on his ledger. I guess he'll have to have one now, but he wouldn't purposefully put that as something that's more piling on top of that for him. So with Higgins back, that'll open stuff up for Chase. They've got the most versatile offense they've had here. So they should, you know, for the first time this year, be full systems go on Monday.
Well, what's the strength of your defense? I know we talk a lot about the offense, but that defense has done some great things over the years too. What's the ultimate strength? Run defense or pass defense?
Well, this is one of the worst run defenses in the league, and the Commanders have a very clear path to victory here. They can just look at what New England did in week one, and that's try to play keep away, that's pound the rock and try to limit possessions. Bengals used to have maybe the best run-stopping nose tackle in the league in DJ Reader. turn on the film in the playoffs in 21 and 22, and I'll challenge you to find a nose tackle who's doing more against the run than DJ did. Well, they didn't, or they replaced him with a couple of rookies who have been hurt, and they replaced him with a pass rusher in Sheldon Rankins, who's also hurt. So a clear opportunity to run the ball. The strength of the defense, though, for the Bengals, I mean, all you need to do is look at Patrick Mahomes' pass chart. The Bengals got experienced and veteran savvy at safety this year, bringing back Von Bell and bringing in Geno Stone. And Mahomes really only completed two passes that were even past the first down mark over the course of the game. So clearly the disguises and the versatility and the playmaking and the instincts in that Bengals secondary can force quarterbacks to have to play safe, even Patrick Mahomes. And when the Bengals, you know, went on those runs, that's exactly what the defense was doing. It was a bad pass defense last year, and so that's what made week two against Patrick Mahomes especially notable.
We're talking with Charlie Goldsmith here, reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer, covers the Bengals. You're in that locker room every day talking to players, talking to coaches. How are just like the vibes for the Bengals right now at 0-2? Is anybody concerned, or, you know, I mean, watching the Patriots last night get shellacked by the Jets, knowing since he lost to them week one, like, just how's everybody kind of handling it?
Week two against the Chiefs was a real missed opportunity. That win could have quite literally carried them through January in terms of they could have said, all right, we can beat the Chiefs, we're good, let's roll into the playoffs in any environment and have all the confidence in the world because this group had done it. Well, now they haven't. There was a bit of a moral victory element of saying, all right, at least Burrow's fine, at least the pass defense is fine, the offensive line's going to hold up. And, you know, looking forward, it's Commanders, it's Giants are coming up on the schedule, the Panthers are coming up on the schedule, then they'll play all the bad teams in the AFC West. So they're going to have more than enough chances to get right from a win-loss perspective. Also, it's their third straight year going 0-2, and this is the first year that there haven't been, like, legitimate pressing health questions with Burrow coming off 0-2. So a real significant missed opportunity that will show up from an intangible and momentum standpoint last week. But when you look at the soft schedule, when you look at the fact that the Ravens are 0-2 and the Steelers and Browns offenses are terrible, They still think they're going to win the AFC North. They have reasons to believe that and be confident in that. And now they just have to do it. This 2024 team has to show that they've corrected some of the problems that cost them last year. And, you know, kind of starting here is you got to beat the teams on your schedule that you should beat. Chances you have to show that.
Do you think they have to run the ball better to also take some pressure off of Joe Burrow?
Sometimes. I think that that's always been a thing for the Bengals. They need to have defenses be worried enough, not worried, but noting the run game enough to not just abandon the box and just live in too deep. They have to, at least on a couple snaps a game, maybe force the safety to creep up just a little bit, because that's when Burrow takes a shot and beats you with a deep touchdown. So they've actually gotten much better at the running back position after losing Joe Mixon, who frankly wasn't very good last season. Zach Moss and Chase Brown, kind of a 1-2 punch tandem backfield. Moss, kind of a steady, efficient guy. Brown, the explosive potential. This will probably be like the 15th to 20th best rushing offense in the league. But for a team that wants to throw the ball 40 times a game sometimes, and whose best players are Burrow and Chase and Higgins, and they've got some tight ends they like, and the receiver depth is really starting to show up. They've got like four or five guys who would be starting receivers on most teams. So they're going to want to pass the ball at the end of the day. They just need defenses to respect the run.
Is there anything we're not thinking of in this matchup? Like, is there a Bengals weakness that Cliff Kingsbury is specifically trying to game plan for? Whether it's the front end, the back end, whatever it might be.
Looking at the Bengals defense again, I think they're probably going to try to run the ball 20 to 30 times a game. I mean, here's who's going to be playing at defensive tackle for the Bengals this week. It's rookie Chris Jenkins making his NFL debut, who had thumb surgery 2 weeks ago and will be playing with a club. It's defensive tackle Lawrence Guy, who signed with the team on Wednesday. It's probably then going to be a practice squad elevation. Then it's going to be defensive end Sam Hubbard playing inside, which he really didn't do last year because they just don't have any more bodies. Like, for example, like the 4th and 16 play that Mahomes made and why the Bengals only rushed three and what happened there. That's been a huge talking point, even nationally this week, that play that turned into the pass interference penalty that let Kansas City win that game. And the only reason the rookie safety who made that penalty was on the field was the Bengals wanted to have a fourth defensive lineman in that game, but they didn't have a fourth defensive lineman to physically put into that game because their defensive tackles were playing on early downs because they were gassed. So you could either have played them like 100% of the snaps, or you could have just taken your chances with a three defensive lineman front, which they did. So it's a math problem up front that Washington, I would assume, is going to try to exploit.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun ball game. Tell B. Mitch, you tweeted about this earlier. Brian is from Louisiana, right? Not necessarily an LSU fan, but I think you love things that are good for the state.
Yeah.
Tell B. Mitch, Charlie, what an LSU fan's weekend in Cincinnati could include.
Yeah, well, Paul Skeens is pitching on Sunday in Cincinnati, and then Joe Burrow versus Jaden Daniels in Cincinnati on Monday night. Heck of a sports weekend, if you ask me.
That's a hell of a sports weekend.
I mean, dude, I'm bummed. Our flight gets in at like 2:30.
Yeah.
The first pitch is 1 o'clock. So we're not gonna.
Yeah.
If that was a night game, I gotta see the Skeens kid, man. I want to see him kind of as he has things going. Charlie, man, we really appreciate it. So you think Higgins is full go for this weekend, right?
I don't think he'll be playing 100% of the snaps. I think they'll probably be situational when they use him, and he probably won't. They probably won't throw too many 50-50 balls up toward him, but he's, of course, a part of the game plan. They do have the receiver depth, so some really nice guys in Yoshi Vash. Jermaine Burton is just a pure deep threat as a rookie. They're mixing in two tight ends. That's been the story of the week here, two tight ends for the first time ever. There's some honking in the background at Paycor Stadium for some reason. using two tight ends, they won't have to force Higgins to play just about every snap.
All right.
You think Gesicki's a big role for them all year?
It'll depend on the matchup. There are going to be times where they need to lean further into the blocking element at tight end, and that's why they'll use Eric All, a rookie out of Iowa. His role will continue to expand, but there are going to be specific teams and specific matchups. And actually, I would have said this last week, too, before he had 90 yards. The Chiefs are a perfect matchup to use Gesicki in the slot and exploit those matchups. So it'll be more situational. There's only one ball, and the game plan always starts with Chase and Higgins. But if you're looking, you know, I don't know that this is the weakness of the Commanders' defense, but when you see other defenses maybe with weaknesses at linebacker or in the middle of the field with the way they use their safeties to match up with guys like that, those will be the types of games where Gesicki shines.
Last thing. With the Bengals, I read something that their pace is kind of slow, that they don't get as many plays as their offense would suggest. Is that accurate? Have you noticed that their pace is not kind of top half of the league?
Well, I would probably first start with that, with how much the Patriots tried to milk the clock for the entire game in week one on Monday. So it'll probably impact those stats you see. But then just purely from an Bengals offense perspective, Burrow is so good in deciphering information based on what he sees before the snap, and he'll move the back around, he'll move guys around, he'll call stuff out. He's so good at getting that even dating back to his second year in the league, really, he'll take that play clock down. So that probably factors into that as well, how good he is at getting information before the snap and how you see that translate into when the ball gets snapped.
All right. There you have it, Charlie.
You're just taking his time.
We'll see you on Monday.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Charlie.
Charlie Goldsmith, follow
him. Saying, Joe's just taking his time, man.
When you're Joe and
but let's think about this, though.
Control, it's not a bad idea.
Don't they worry about him getting hit a lot?
He gets hit a lot.
And he doesn't run as often. He gets hit in the pocket a lot, right? That offensive line, are they good enough?
I don't know.
But then you're going to find out about defense pressure, good enough.
Yeah, I mean, you heard Joe Witt earlier talk about everybody's got to be better, including Allen and Payne.
Mm-hmm.
DQ kind of said the same thing. If you want to follow Charlie on Twitter, he does a really good job, at @CharlieG_. If you had to pick one guy to break out, step up this week, either side of the ball, who you want?
I want Terry to step up and break out. I just think that when Terry is doing his thing, he's like a spark plug for this football team. You know, there are guys on your team that can play, and people see him, okay, whatever, but when another guy plays, like, Terry is a quiet guy, but he has a hell of an athletic confidence and arrogance about himself. Mm-hmm. And when he makes plays, you can see how he starts to get into it. I think guys feed off of Terry's exuberance and excitement.
I think that's fair. I think for me, it's pain. Mm-hmm. I think when Payne is at his best and he's dominant, the entire – offensively, they've been able to move the ball and they don't have Terry going, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Now, if you get Terry going, then you really got something going. Then the offense hits another gear.
Yeah.
But I would say, I mean, to use an analogy here, the offense has gotten into third gear. They're not in fourth or certainly not in fifth, but they got into mm-hmm. third.
Yeah.
Defense hasn't gotten out of neutral.
I don't – yeah.
And I think if Payne can get going and disrupt Burrow, disrupt the timing, disrupt those wideouts, could really be a boost for the whole defense. And you heard Joe Witt talk about Ja'Marr Chase. You heard Charlie Goldsmith talk about T. Higgins mm-hmm. being healthy. This kid, Yoshi, they got, Ayashivas, can play, man. Gasecki's got hand.
We can't give Joe that much time. But the thing about him, Joe will hold the ball, which will give you time to get to him. I think, listen, man, if you feel that you are a good enough pass rusher, they got to get to him this week.
Got to. What's your path to slow down this Bengals offense? Outside of the just hope they're bad, what is your plan? You know what I mean?
Well, based off of what we've seen thus far, it don't seem like there is one. But we've heard enough talk, and we expect a lot of certain people where they got to play. They got to show up and be what they are touted as.
Right.
You can't keep this playing off of a reputation. That reputation has to be shown on the field now.
Totally. And I think those guys are aware of it. We talked to John Allen for a minute yesterday, and he's like, I'm not playing well enough. Nobody's playing well enough. John's a smart guy. He's never going to say the wrong thing. I think if you can get more out of Payne and Allen, Johnny Newton's supposed to play more this week.
Let's see it.
What if you get more out of him? They were so excited about
him. I don't care the last name or the number. Just somebody in the middle. Let's get some pressure up the middle. That will change a lot. I'll take the edges too, but I'm saying up the middle normally
disrupts
the hell out of a quarterback stepping into the pocket, and it also disrupts a running game. So I don't care what the number or what's the last name. I just want to see a big dude in burgundy and gold making plays consistently.
Big dudes in burgundy and gold making plays. We're going to open the phone lines up. 800-636-1067. You get to ask Brian Mitchell anything. 800-636-1067.